Good morning. Let's open our Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We'll read verse 1 through 5. Romans 5, 1 through 5. Therefore, we, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has given to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We ask for your grace and your presence. Lord, give us endurance that builds character, for we know that you are the hope. And Father, we just pray that you would be lifted up today. God, we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So this morning, I just want to talk a little bit about trials and tribulations that develop perseverance and character and hope. Well-known passage that for many of us, when we're going through challenging times, when we're going through tribulations, trials, troubles, the TR words, that we struggle. And unless we know sort of what the reasons are for, unless we know what the final end result is for, we struggle. So this is well illustrated through athletics and through sports and running and working out. And quite recently, the day before yesterday, which was Monday, I wanted to do some exercise for the first time in about a year, I think. So I downloaded an app, and it was the 7-minute workout. And I was like, wow, 7 minutes, I could do this. Because everything else, you know, running 30 minutes, hour, I was just like, no, just give me something that I could do in like 10 minutes or less, and it was a 7-minute workout. So I downloaded it, I tried it, and I'm still sore from it. But in the middle of it, because it's been such a long time, I'm thinking, why am I doing this? Like, I'm just dying, I'm killing myself, I'm sore, I'm achy. This is just straight up pain. And I look at runners, and I'm not a natural runner, but I did have a season of running just to figure out what makes runners tick and things like this. I'm thinking to myself in regards to runners, it's like, why would you voluntarily put yourself through this? You know, why would you voluntarily put yourself through pain and hardship, right? Running up trails, just basically voluntarily putting yourself through pain and hardship. Well, runners will tell you, and amazingly, we have many here at SP, world-class runners here at SP, because they do this, and they'll tell you because in the end, it leads to something fruitful and wonderful and beneficial, whether it be better cardiovascular output, or whether it be better health, or whether it be stronger, or whether it be this euphoria, runner's high, you know, which many of us have yet to experience because we've never run that far. But in any case, because through their experience of voluntarily putting themselves through pain and hardship in terms of their workout or their run or their exercise, they know in the end it results in fruit. And, you know, a lot of times we're going through hardship and pain, and we naturally ask the question, why am I going through this? And that's perfectly fine, perfectly normal, perfectly acceptable. But if we can have that same sort of mindset and attitude that athletes, they voluntarily put themselves through pain and hardship because they know in the end it's going to result in something fruitful. And world-class athletes will say, yeah, it's all about working hard, no pain, no gain, things like that of that nature. And so in the same way in our lives and in the spirit, the Apostle Paul here in chapter 5 says, therefore we can rejoice. Verse 2, depending on some of your translations, here in the NASB it says, and we exult in the hope of the glory of God. But not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations or rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations bring about perseverance. The Bible is telling us that our trials and tribulations can work for us and not just against us. A lot of times when we go through difficulties, we think that these struggles in our lives are against us, you know, and because we're running into obstacles. But the Bible says that we have to understand that these trials can work for us, not just against us. If we have the bigger heavenly perspective, the first reaction, as I mentioned, is that we ask why. But however, if we move beyond the why questions, a lot of people will come to me and other pastors, and they want to ask the why questions. Why is this happening to me? What is the purpose? Why does this have to happen? Why does God allow this? Et cetera, et cetera. And as gently as I can, my response is, I can never answer the why question. I try to give some history and experience and testimonies and things like that, but it's rare that anyone can answer the why questions. And I think Pastor Rick Warren said that he no longer asks the why questions because that's not necessary, because he knows that what question is most important. What is God trying to do? What is God trying to mold? What is God trying to say? What is God trying to show? So instead of the why questions, the what questions are the more important questions to ask. And so when we move beyond the why questions, then we move beyond the trial itself, and we move forward into hope and trust and confidence in the Lord, because God is developing character in us through trials, as it says in chapter 5. But you look at the life of Paul and you ask, why can he say that in his trials he can be content? The question is, what is it about the truth about these trials, and how come hardships mold us and things like that? And so in the text, he gives us an answer that trials are actually good for us because they develop us in three main areas. And the first one is perseverance or endurance. As I mentioned, if you look at the example through sports, and teams, you know, football, American football, rugby, whatever the sport may be, basketball, usually it's the team that is the most well-conditioned that will persevere to win at the end. So no matter what happens, usually if there's, you know, a first half or second half to the game, no matter what happens in the first half, you may be losing, you know, down at halftime, whatever it may be, losing in the intermission. Usually, if you can outlast the other team in terms of conditioning and endurance, you can be victorious. You can overcome and things like that. And sometimes it takes these trials and difficulties and obstacles to overcome, to experience victory. And so if you look in life, it takes these trials, these obstacles, these difficulties, and the endurance to overcome. If you would just endure through the difficulty, you could be victorious. If you look at the example of sports, a lot of teams, they go through obstacles and they give up. But we love the classic David and Goliath story, where you have this underdog team who is tiny and short and at a disadvantage against this big, you know, mega team or whatever. And they continue to push through all the way, where the Goliath team, they're overconfident and they go through some difficulties and they can't weather the storm and they end up losing, where it's the underdog team that continues to push through. And they become victorious. It's that kind of experience and that kind of overcoming and endurance of obstacles that allow you to be victorious. And I think in the game of life, Paul experienced that throughout his entire life, where he had to overcome trials and shipwreck and punishment and stoning and persecution. But in the end, he knew that he would be victorious, that if he would continue to be persistent and endure and not give up, that he could receive the crown, the prize that is set apart for him, that is laid aside for him. And we have to realize that no matter what stage in your life you're going through right now here in Hong Kong, you've got to realize that it's a trial that God gives us grace to overcome, that he wants to develop endurance and perseverance to get through, because there is a crown prepared for you, that there is heaven prepared for you, that there's victory prepared for you, that you can overcome through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, because his grace is sufficient for you. So the first thing that Paul talks about is that, look, you're going through some difficult obstacles, Because God wants you to develop perseverance, endurance. In fact, when it comes to exercising and working out and building stronger, you have to lift weights that is heavier than you can normally do. Because if you do weights that is too easy, that doesn't build anything, that doesn't grow anything. But you've got to lift weights that is actually difficult for you. And if you would endure and do that, you can continue with more heavier weights and more difficult obstacles. And pretty soon you'll see yourself as big as the Incredible Hulk. Not that I would want you to look like that, but in the spirit, yes, amen, hallelujah, right? that you can overcome any difficult thing. So whether it be tragedy or whether it be losses, that you have your confidence in the Lord and say, this is no big deal. You know, I've handled way punier difficulties than this. To endure is the ability to carry through hardships. And parents will learn this with their children when their children become sick, that you have to just persevere and endure. When your child is sick, you can't be like, oh, he's sick, forget it, it's over, forget it, he's done. Right? No, you have to endure. You endure, you persevere through the sickness. Or the same thing when your spouse is sick and ill. You don't give up. You're not like, oh, she has a cold, okay, let's plan for the funeral. You know, that doesn't, you don't do that, right? Yet when it comes to personal trials and personal difficulties, we are just like the prophet Elijah. Oh, I want to die. I want to, crawl into a hole. I want my life to be over. But we have to have the perspective that no. We won't give up on our loved ones. We won't give up on our children. We won't give up on our spouses. We won't give up on them. But why is it that we want to give up on ourselves? And maybe that's where the community of believers need to come alongside of us and say, no, don't give up. This is for a greater purpose, and you're going to grow stronger. And so we learn this when we encounter difficulties, but God often allows difficulties to teach us not to quit and to endure. Because what we can learn through these difficulties is that God can be trusted through all of our difficulties. Recently, coming out of difficult circumstances with our family, as many people poured out prayers for our families and support for our family, through this whole thing, as I reflect, It's even through the most difficult times that I'm beginning to understand and see that God can be trusted, that God can be trusted through all of our difficulties, that the discovery, someone once said a quote that it said, when you're face-to-face with your difficulty, you're up against a discovery. And the discovery is this, is that the pain that you're going through right now is not final, but it's temporary. The pain that you're going through is final, but temporary. But obviously, when you're going through it, you feel like it's never going to end. But we have to understand that this pain is final, but not final, but temporary. I came across this poem, and it's very short, but it says, when things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when funds are low and debts are high, and you want to smile, but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is weird with twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learn. And many a failure turns about when we might have won had we stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he's learned too late when the night slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. That it's just too early to give up, too early to quit. And so want to continue to persevere and endure through this difficult time, because when you get through it, there is a crown waiting for you. The next thing that Paul talks about is the strength of character. A good definition of character is who you are when no one's looking. I mean, when you're in front of people, yeah, you definitely want to show your best face forward. You know, you definitely want to show yourself as better than you really are. I mean, that's the role of Facebook, right? We only put the good pictures up, you know, thinking that our life is awesome, right? You know, we're at a restaurant and we take pictures of our food, right? To why? To demonstrate, wow, my life is awesome. You know, I'm enjoying this food. You never put, you know, like, you know, crappy pictures of food unless you want to say, dude, this is crappy, you know. And but in any case, your Facebook image is not who you are. I mean, character is who you are when no one's looking. The Bible talks about how God searches our hearts to determine the level of character that's been developed in us, that God searches our hearts. And character is refined in the school of life through tribulations, through difficulty. The English word tribulation comes from the Latin word tribulum. And when Paul says that we can rejoice in our tribulations, he uses this word pictures that his audience, the readers, could understand, because a tribulum in Paul's day was this heavy piece of wood with spikes in it, and it was used for threshing grain. And so the tribulum was drawn over the grain, and it separated the wheat from the chaff. And so this wordplay of tribulations, tribulum, that Paul uses, when we go through tribulations, it's like this image of wheat being separated from the chaff so that the good stuff comes out and the bad stuff is taken away or put aside. And so when we are developing character, it's like this tribulation separates the good from the bad in terms of our character and our heart. And going back to sports analogy too, is that in that example of when a team is losing and down, and they continue to push through with endurance, and they are developing character, you listen to the interviews at the end of the game or something, and a lot of times you'll hear the players say, yeah, our team showed a lot of heart. Our team had lots of heart. In fact, you know, they may go for a score, and there's this one player that, you know, just rips open his chest like this, you know, and to say that, you know, we have a lot of heart. You know, some will you know, pull their jersey back and expose their heart and things like that. Like, hey, you know, we scored, we have a lot of heart and things like that. I mean, it's funny explaining it to you now, but especially early this morning. Or, you know, after a championship match, you know, the coach will say, our team showed a heart of a champion, you know, things like that. Well, that's exactly what happens, that through endurance and through overcoming tribulation, that you develop this character, this heart, that is a heart of a champion, the heart of a victor. You develop this character, this heart. And that's what God wants for us, that we develop this heart that is Christ-like, a heart that is one that can overcome, a heart that can support and serve others, a heart that is molded just like in the image of Him, a heart that loves in the midst of opposition, a heart that will fight for those that who are defenseless. This is the kind of heart that the Bible talks about that can only come through the separation of the wheat and the chaff in your lives. But this comes through tribulations. And so Paul says, I want you to endure, to persevere, because perseverance develops character. And this character now develops hope. And hope, in its simplest definition, is to have confidence and trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. This process of tribulations, endurance, character, all leads down to one path. And that path is trust in Jesus Christ. In the sports illustration, we can use the example of the coach being to Jesus, where the coach is saying, look, if you stick it through, if you follow my plan, if you trust in what I'm saying to you, if you trust in all of our, you know, practices, and if you trust in what I'm trying to lead you towards, we will be victorious. Just trust me. And teams will be successful if they trust their coaches, if the coach knows what he's doing, and I think Jesus knows what he's doing. And so the coach knows what he's doing. He's saying, just trust what I'm saying. I'm reminded of the Karate Kid and the original with Daniel's son, not with Will Smith's son and Jackie Chan. But in any case, even in the Jackie Chan Karate Kid, the new Karate Kid or whatever it is, you know, Jaden Smith is, you know, doing all these weird things with his jacket and, you know, crazy sort of things. And it's like, what are you doing? But if you trust your master, you'll become this, you know, kung fu or martial arts expert that the coach or trainer is trying to groom you up to. And in that same way, all of this leads down to the hope and trusting in our Lord Jesus Christ, that through these trials, through these difficulties, if you were to endure, that character is going to be molded in you, that you have a hope, that Jesus will mold you into what he wants you to be and to be victorious if you would just hold the course. Though it's difficult to endure, God is able to teach us these things. We can rejoice because when the trial is over, we have learned to trust Jesus better. Going back to the runners, they voluntarily put themselves into pain and hardship because they know that in the end, that they can rejoice. They can rejoice. And so in that same way, in the Spirit, in our life's trials, we can rejoice in our tribulations, in our difficulty, in our suffering, because in the end, the fruit that it's going to produce is going to be so sweet. And so I want to encourage you this morning, if we could have Jeff come up, that if you just hold the course, I know many of us are in places where we have no idea when the Lord is going to get us out of this difficult situation. We have no idea. But the encouragement that Paul is trying to give us is that if you hold the course, that you will become a stronger Christian, that you'll become a stable Christian, you'll become a confident Christian. And the one promise that the Lord makes to us that gives me great comfort in the midst of trial is in Philippians 1:6, he says that I'm sure that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it until the day that Jesus comes back again. That God has began a good work in us, and he is faithful to complete it. And in the midst right now, for many of us, for all of us, we're in the midst of God completing that work. We're not finished yet. We're not there yet. But he is in the process of completing a great work. That he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. He didn't bring you this far to leave you there. He didn't bring you this far to just leave you there. But he is faithful to complete the work all the way through. He's going to finish it. He demonstrated it on the cross where he had this plan. And on the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." And the same will be for us. That you may have gone through some darkest valleys. You may have gone through a lot of opposition and difficulties. You may have gone through a lot of pain. But he didn't bring you this far to just leave you stranded on the side of the road. He said, he is faithful. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. So let's meditate on that this morning. That God is not finished with you.
Abandoned to your praise. let your glory fall, consuming fire, fan into flame, a passion for your name. Spirit of God, would you fall in this place? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way with us. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, a passion for your name. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, a passion for your name. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, a passion for your name. Consuming fire, fan into flame, a passion for your name. Spirit of God, would you fall in this place? Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way. Lord, have your way.
Have you ever worked out or run and asked yourself, why am I doing this? It's not worth it. As you're going through pain and struggle and fatigue, well, the answer is, yeah, it's not worth it if you stop now. It isn't. You have to keep going. You have to endure. You have to persevere, push through, and you'll see the results. Have you ever come to EMP and praying for something for a long time, thinking to yourself, why am I doing this? Why am I praying? It's not worth it. It's the same principle. It's not worth it if you stop now. We have to endure and go all the way through. Go all the way through and receive the incredible good gift that God has for us. So don't give up. I'm sure for those who have received their healings, they're thankful that somebody didn't give up. For those who've received their jobs, that are now that list is quite small, I'm sure they're thankful that we didn't give up. And so let's continue to pray and not give up. Let's endure. Let's persevere. Let's build character in our heart to overcome. And let's hold on to the hope of Jesus, because He is the finisher of our faith. So let's pray for those who are sick and struggling with cancer, and as their journey is long and painful, let's continue to pray for them right now. So let's lift them up by name and pray. Thank you. section one, you'll notice Chelsea's name there, and that's not a confirmed thing. They discovered something on her thyroid, and she's going in for surgery, emergency surgery, and so they're going to do a biopsy. So let's continue to keep her and John in prayer in terms of that it won't be cancerous, and so let's support them and lift them up. Let's pray now for those who are not believers but are struggling with cancer and illnesses. Let's ask the Lord to open their eyes. Let's keep praying and intercede for them until the end, and so let's pray. Pray for those with other illnesses that they would be healed and they would be restored and that they would give glory to God. So let's pray for those who are sick right now. Pray for those looking for employment and jobs and ask for God's grace to sustain them through this difficult time. Let's ask the Lord to encourage them, that they would not be discouraged. But let's ask the Lord to open doors, and let's pray for these names to come off the screen. So let's pray. Pray for our mission focus today, and today we're praying for Cambodia. So let's lift up Grace and Ashley and Bloom, Pastor Robert O and Pastor Tang at New Life. And there's a lot of civil unrest with the elections going on, and so potential danger there. So let's ask the Lord for protection, and but let's ask the Lord to bless their ministries, that the gospel would permeate throughout Cambodia. And so let's lift up Cambodia right now. For the board of directors, let's lift up Pastor Sam, for Lisa, for Hige, and Janie, and Tom, and Kiwan, and Brian, and Monica, and let's ask the Lord to assemble this board and give them unity, and let's ask the Lord to give them wisdom as they make decisions on behalf of us. And so let's pray for them. Let's pray for their families. Pray for their direction and their future. Let's lift up our board. For men's and women's ministry, let's pray for the men and the women. Let's ask the Lord to use these ministries to heal hearts, to restore souls, and so let's lift up men's and women's ministry right now. Pray for SP 2.0, for a new building, and let's pray for a donor that was spoken over us, that that God would raise up someone to be able to be generous. And so let's ask the Lord to bless our search in His own timing. He'll know the right place, and ask the Lord to give us wisdom on where that might be and when that might be. So let's pray for our new building. Let's pray through our new worship space. Let's pray. House church season has started, and so we have some new house churches also. So let's lift up those who are meeting today: Causeway Bay, Island, Taiku, Sha Tin, Robin Hood, Elements, and Happy Valley. Let's ask the Lord to use these house churches to bring people into community, that they would learn to serve and love one another. And so let's lift up these house churches meeting today. Father, we rejoice in the things that we're going through now. We thank You for those things. We thank You that You sustain us. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You that they strengthen us, God. Help us to endure and to persevere under trial, Lord. Lord, build the character in us, God. Lord, may it be humility. May it be whatever it is that You feel is appropriate for us. Lord, so we just submit to that, God, and we hold on to the hope of Jesus that never fails, for Your love has never failed. And God, we just hold on to that truth. And God, we want to honor You, God. So we thank You. We lift this day up to You. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a blessed morning today. And I encourage you to stay and spend some more time in the Lord. And we'll see you tomorrow.